Hi, Madam Turtletaub. Welcome to Compliance Perspectives. In a moment, we'll have a conversation with Charlotte Young of the Nature Conservancy. Charlotte asked me to note that the opinions she expresses are her own and not those of the Nature Conservancy.
Welcome to Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turtletaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics, joining you again from an echoey conference room at the Compliance and Ethics Institute here in Las Vegas. I am joined today by Charlotte Young, who's the Chief Ethics and Compliance Officer at the Nature Conservancy. Charlotte, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Adam. Thanks for having me.
Now, do you want to begin by giving people an overview of the Nature Conservancy?
Well, I would love to, of course. Thank you for that, and thank you for having me. For those who aren't familiar with the Nature Conservancy, it's a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and that's what I'll be focusing on today. We have about 4,000 employees. We're doing work in 96 countries around the world. We have about $6.5 billion of assets and an annual budget of $800 million. Our global mission is big. It's to conserve the lands and waters upon which all life depends. So that's what I'd like to talk to you about today.
And that would be a very big and certainly laudable mission. So let's talk. You know, there's not a lot of nonprofits that have compliance programs. And, of course, there's not a lot that are quite as big as you. What are some of the special challenges for compliance in a nonprofit institution?
Well, you know, it's a good question. And when I started as a nonprofit compliance officer, I thought, well, this would be really different from the for-profit world, which I came from. After about 25 years, I switched from for to non. And there are some special challenges, although there are actually, I think, a lot more commonalities between the two sectors. But the challenges, I think, first is, as a nonprofit, you really focus more on your reputation than perhaps as a for-profit. We really don't have anything to sell other than our reputation. We rely on the generosity of our donors, our private funders, our public funders. So to us, reputation is really core to our existence and core to maintaining that public charity status. So I'd say that's sort of one perhaps major difference. Another is that we are very lightly regulated, which is kind of a nice difference for a compliance officer. Our primary regulator is the Internal Revenue Service, the IRS in the United States. And there are some unique issues around maintaining that public charity status, such as focusing a lot on private benefit. I spent a lot of my time worrying about private benefit. We have very special rules around lobbying that are unique to a 501c3. I do a lot of work in the area of electioneering, which I didn't even really understand what it was before I came to the Nature Conservancy. And if you don't know, it's ensuring that our organization doesn't stand out in favor of anyone running for public office. Conflicts are a big deal for nonprofits, I think perhaps more than for-profits and in a slightly different way. And then really unique is donor intent. If someone gives my organization money to achieve our mission, I need to make sure and help make sure that we're doing it in the way that the donor intended. So those are sort of different challenges. And then I guess one more I'd say, you have at a nonprofit, you have sort of a unique staff mentality. A lot of our staff are out to save the world. And I think on some levels, they think compliance maybe is getting in between them and their fabulous mission. So there's that too, a little bit of a challenge there.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, when you have such a laudable mission, a lot of people in general will see anything as an impediment, as something hostile to it, and don't realize that it doesn't matter how laudable our goal is, we still have to achieve it the right way.
Exactly. And we thread that needle, but yeah, it is a little bit of a mentality shift, I think.
So let's talk for a moment about the board. Boards typically are, in a nonprofit are volunteers. They're really motivated by the cause. There's not this issue of shareholder value and getting the stock price up that you have to think about. How do you gain the support of the board members?
Well, actually, that's a really easy thing to do. Certainly, that's been my experience at the Nature Conservancy. All our board members are volunteers, and of course, they don't get paid like you might if you sat on the board of a nonprofit.
A for-profit.
But a for-profit, sorry. But what comes with that is a real dedicated dedication around the mission. So I've talked to a report to our board of directors, so I meet with them often, and of course many of them sit on many other boards, and frequently they tell me it's their favorite board to sit on, even though they're not being paid, and even though frankly they have to pay their own way to the meetings. They're extremely dedicated to the mission, just as I imagine the SCCE board is as well, you know, as a nonprofit. So
they are.
There's a, you know, there's sort of those similarities as well.
That's great. And by the way, does it help that so many of them are coming out of the private sector? They might be used to compliance and see it as something that makes them, gives them reassurance?
Absolutely. Our board are very sophisticated, and they are a great supporter of me and my compliance program and compliance in general.
Good. So we talked a bit about some of the challenges that come for a nonprofit and the issues you face. Are there any advantages that you think nonprofits have when it comes to trying to make compliance a part of their lives?
I do. I do think the biggest advantage for a nonprofit is that we are mission-based. You know, as I mentioned earlier, we have one thing to sell, and that's our reputation, and one thing to do, and that's to achieve our mission. So whether your mission is, you know, conservation, as my organization is, or humanitarian aid, or curing disease, people, the staff, are very focused on accomplishing that, and therefore that they hold the values of the organization very high. At the Nature Conservancy, our five core values are really central to everything that our staff do, and we talk about it a lot, and the staff take them very seriously. And I think in that way it does help achieve your goals of a compliance program. For example, integrity beyond reproach is one of our core values, and our staff take it very seriously. Another advantage for working for a nonprofit when it comes to compliance is that I feel like there's a little more room to be creative. Because we are less stringently regulated, and we can work a little more closely and creatively with our management, we don't have to have so many legally mandated programs, for example, that some of the for-profit organizations and compliance programs need. That gives us a little more space to operate, especially in the ethics side, as I am compliance and ethics. So those are two, I think, two pretty significant advantages.
So that leads to a natural question is, you know, given those advantages, what could for-profits learn from nonprofit compliance programs?
Well, as I started saying, there really aren't that many differences between the programs. You know, we look at the federal sentencing guidelines, for example. We do training, we do code of conduct, we do everything that the for-profit world does. But I would say one thing, having thought about this, is to really, if you're a for-profit, to really focus on those core values. And many do, so that's not to say that this is unique to the nonprofit world. But I really think that the core values are where people connect on an emotional level to compliance and ethics and what you want to accomplish. And it's a little easier to do when people come to work every day, you know, trying to save the world. But people can come to work every day and trying to sell a fabulous product and still connect into that values-based approach. And I think for either type of compliance program, that's really going to be the way that you're going to connect to the people.
Okay. What should someone who's thinking about maybe making the move from a compliance officer at a for-profit to a compliance officer at a nonprofit, what are some of the questions that person should ask before taking the job?
As I mentioned before, they're really, you know, I think if you're thinking about making that change, you will find a lot of similarities between the two, for-profit and nonprofit. Both need the same basic programs, follow the same basic guidelines. But if you're interested in a particular nonprofit, for example, I would recommend that the first thing you do is get out what's called the 990, which is the IRS informational tax return. It gives a massive amount of information about that particular 990. It's publicly available, and it will help you understand where the money comes from, as well as there's a whole section on governance, and that would be an important section to look at. In terms of asking in an interview or thinking about what questions would ask, I would really focus on risk, which is probably the same question you'd ask at a for-profit, but what is the primary risk to this nonprofit? And it might be unique. It might be around funding, for example. You might be funded publicly, and you might want to ask about what's the future of that public funding. So I would look at risks, look at the 990, and then finally really focus on the funding source. But, you know, I would say, Adam, I would really recommend anyone who's interested in moving to the nonprofit world of compliance, I would highly recommend it. I think it's great. It's been a great career for me. And, you know, there are probably more limited resources and, frankly, probably lower pay. But this field of compliance for nonprofit is becoming much and much more sophisticated with a greater understanding of the compliance needs. So I would say go for it.
Great. Well, thank you. And you've certainly done a good job explaining what the opportunity there is, and it's very encouraging. Well, Charlotte, thank you again for taking the time to talk to us today. I want to thank all of you for listening and hope we expanded your compliance perspectives.
Thanks, Adam.